Okay, let's begin. We're up to the Mishnah on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, right? You guys need Gemaras?
Oh, here we go.
Okay. So we're up to 8a, the Mishnah on Ches Amud Aleph. Okay, so we're up to this. You guys have started this new topic here of killing b'shogeg, right? That the inadvertent murderer goes to exile, goes to Gullus. So you talked about most of the cases already. How do you define if it's advertent or how do you define if it's inadvertent? Now the Mishnah turns to a few other cases, a few other details. First it says, Hasorek Evan L'Rishus HaRabin. So if a person throws a stone into a crowd of people, right into a public area, and there's people there, the harag, and he killed somebody, hareza gola, this guy goes into exile. Okay, so I have to figure out what the case is in the Gemara, because you mentioned before, there's a certain degree of negligence involved, there's not going to be exile, because it's called karov lemezid, it's approaching intentional. So if you throw a rock into a crowd of people, it's pretty negligent. So we're going to have to talk about in the Gemara why this isn't called negligence.
Why is it negligent? Is it intentional? Why would you throw it in a crowd of people?
That's the Gemara's question. We're going to get there. Meaning, why this is a case of accidental murder, manslaughter, we're going to have to talk about in the Gemara.
That reminds me of a couple of months ago, there was in the news, someone was in on her balcony, like her condo balcony. She takes a chair and she throws it off the balcony. Yeah. And there's like people walking down below. She just throws her chair off the balcony.
Right. That's
and it was in the news. They said, what kind of a crazy...
Somebody got wounded or hurt? Or
They arrested her anyway.
Yeah, they arrested her.
Wow. Right. It's like arrested a battery or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. It's like when we used to go to these trips to New York. If you go to the top of the Empire State Building, right, they have all those signs saying no throwing pennies off the edge or whatever, I guess, right? That's a common thing people do when they get up there.
Make a wish.
Yeah, okay.
Down.
Right, it builds it up, and that could be lethal. Okay, so we're going to have to talk about why this is a case of accidental murder. So next point. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, a qualification with the throwing case. If after the person released the rock from their hand while they were throwing it, Hotzi Hales Rosho. Then the other guy moved into position to get hit, right? Right. If the trajectory of the rock wouldn't have hit this person if he just would have stayed where he was. But if he now moves to the place where he where the rock was going to after it left his hand, the Kibla, and he received it, meaning on his head, and died, Hare Zepater. So then there is no exile, because we're going to see that there's a verse that excludes this case of where the guy finds the rock himself, right? The victim finds his way to getting, right? You walked into my fist.
But he could walk into the trajectory either by accident or
Either way.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We don't know either case, because we don't know why the guy threw
the
rock.
Exactly.
We don't know why the guy walked.
Very good. Okay, so we're going to have to discuss this in the Gemara. So we'll just put a pin in it for now. Next point. Zarak is a Evan Lechatzero. If you throw a rock into your own courtyard, right? You just throw it into your backyard. You throw a big rock into your backyard. The harag, and there happened to be a guy sitting in your backyard, and it killed him. So now we have to figure out, im yesh rishus lanizak likanes lasham, if the victim had permission to be there in your backyard at the time, then goyla, then you are exiled, right? Because you didn't know he was there at the time. Maybe Toysus points out he had some general permission to be there, but he didn't know, right? In general, but he didn't know he was going
to
be there right then. Otherwise, again, we'd have the same question of it seems very negligent, or right? So it had to be that he didn't know he was there, but he had permission to be there, and therefore it's the exact right amount of negligence to cause exile. But if he had no permission to be there, he was there trespassing on your property, so then you don't get exiled, that you are not liable for that at all. Shenemar, and we're going to give a pasuk, the Mishnah is going to quote a pasuk that's going to prove this. Now the case, if you remember the previous Mishnah, they talked about the axe and the metal axe part sliding off the handle and killing. So the verse which introduces that case in the Torah says like this, Vasher yavo es reyehu bayahar. And if he came together with his friend in the forest. mm-hmm. right? And then they describe that whole case mm-hmm. of the axe case, right, in the forest. Yep. Mm-hmm. The case of chopping wood. So what we learn, why does the Torah have to mention that they were in a forest? Right? Who cares where this happened, right? Right? Whatever it happened, right?
They were in the same area, what it's really saying.
Right. Why do we need this this detail yeah. that they happen to be in a forest at the time? Mm-hmm. So we make a drasha.
Well, that's a purpose for having the axe. Otherwise, why would he carry an axe?
Well, let's say he was in his yard or whatever. I said it could be anywhere, you know? I say, why does the Torah have to particularly mention that they were in the forest? Yeah. And even if it's true that it's the only place, so then it's obvious. Why does it have to mention that they were in the forest? Yeah. So what do we learn from here? Mahayar, just like a forest, is Rishus LaNizak ULaMazik LiKanes LaSham. Both the victim and the damager, the attacker, both have permission to be there. Mm-hmm. A forest is open, right? It's an open place where they both have permission to be there. Af Kol, so too, the only way you'll ever get exile is if it's a case that you have Rishus LaNizak ULaMazik LiKanes LaSham, that you have mm-hmm. permission for both the victim and the attacker to be there at the moment. That's the drasha we learn from this forest business, that the forest is open access.
To everybody, yeah.
So too, if the place that the murder took place was open access, so then we could have an exile. If not, there's no exile. Yatza chatzar balabais, this excludes the case of a person's personal courtyard. She'ein rishos lenizak likanes l'sham, that the victim did not have the permission to be there. Okay, so there's one. That's the next point about permission to be there in the place.
Yeah.
And the last point the Mishnah says is Abba Shaul Omer. Abba Shaul says another thing we learn from the case of the chopping wood. He says just like over there in the chopping wood case, that's explicit in the Torah. Machatav Zaitzim Rishus. Just like the act of chopping wood is an optional act, you don't have to chop wood. Right? You could chop wood, you could not chop wood, you could buy the chopped wood, whatever, right? You don't have to actually chop wood. It's an optional act to chop wood. Af kol rishus. So too, it must be that whatever the action that the person was doing when the murder took place was an optional act. It was not something that he was obligated to do. For example, yatza, this excludes the case of ha'av hamake es beno, a father who is hitting his son, right, to chastise him to do good. Right. In the case of a father who's chastising his son, that's a mitzvah he's fulfilling in the act of chastising the son. And if he technically accidentally kills his son during the chastising mm-hmm. process, he wouldn't be exiled, even if it was a perfect case of inadvertent, because we only apply the exile in a case of an optional act that he could have chosen to do or could have not chosen to do. But if the Torah mandates, or if a person is obligated for some reason to do something and he kills in that process, so there's not going to be any exile there because it doesn't model after the case of the chopping wood, which is a totally an optional act.
So it automatically fall under onus, like totally...
Yeah, or carvel onus or something, yeah. All right, so that's one case, the case of the father hitting his son, the harav harodes talmidav, or similarly... The Rebbe that wants to make sure his students are listening, you're lucky I'm a nice guy, Ushliach Beis Din, or the messenger of Beis Din who's applying makos, right? Lashes. So whenever anyone is doing a particular mitzvah and somebody gets killed, so they're not going to ever get sent to exile because they were involved in a mitzvah and it does not model after chopping wood. That is the opinion of Abba Shaul, and that's the only opinion about this topic that's listed in our Mishnah. Okay, any questions on the mission other than the ones that I pointed out? Okay? Okay, so the first question in the Gemara is back to that first case. So let's go back to the first case. The guy threw a rock into a crowded place. So the Mishnah said he goes to exile. This is called an inadvertent murder. And again, we're bothered why this is called inadvertent, right? There seems to be a lot of negligence going on over here when a guy just throws a rock into a crowded place.
Oh, you anticipate that someone's going to get killed if you throw a rock. Same as if you drive a car...
Right.
A lot of people,
you can't say, oh, I'm a manslaughter, right? No. I just drove into it, right?
You don't know that you're going to kill that particular person.
Yeah, but driving a car is a normal activity.
Not into a
taking
car.
Taking a rock and throwing it, that's not
doesn't
normal.
Matter. If you drive your car, if a person drives their car into a crowd,
a people,
they're not going to get a manslaughter charge for that. They're going to get a murder charge for that.
People standing at a bus stop, you take your car like they did in Young Street.
Right.
Yeah, but suppose his brakes fail or something like
that.
Oh,
no, that's a different... Now your brakes fail. That's a... No, you're right.
That's rank on it and say that's it.
You're right, you're right. You're right, 100%. Brakes failing is an exception to the rule.
But in this case, the guy took a rock... For what purpose? Why did you throw a rock in the forest?
Target practice. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Let's see how it turns out for the reptiles,
you know.
Yeah.
You guys are both right. I mean, this is a campy. We have to give an extra detail in the case. Because just throwing a rock into a crowded place would for sure be intentional.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, Lirshus HaRabim, he threw a rock into a crowded place. Mazidu. That's intentional, right? That's an intentional murder, right? You can't get any more intentional than that. You may not know which guy he's going to end up killing, right?
That's
but
right.
He's certainly culpable.
Yes.
Okay, so we have to figure out what the case is. First try. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel, son of Yitzchak, says, the Somser es Koslo. It wasn't exactly. He just picked up a rock and threw it. The guy was knocking down his wall, right? And he knocked down the wall, and the wall fell into Rishus HaRabim, into the public space, and that's how it killed somebody.
That's a specific
thing. Much more specific. Just throwing the rock into a crowded place, that's too much negligence. That would be intentional.
Yeah.
But if you're knocking down, you're renovating,
that's
and you bang your wall into the Rishus HaRabim. Now, it's not even so much of a different story, says the Gemara. Here, the Gemara now comes back and asks again. It says, wait a second. How different is that already? Iboile liyuni. Before you knock down your wall, you have to check and make sure that there's no crowd of people standing right there beside your wall. And if you don't, that's a high degree of negligence, and you wouldn't be exiled even in that case of knocking down your renovation. So Mar says, let's continue thinking then, because that can't be. That's also intentional. Throwing a rock to a crowded place is intentional. Renovating your wall next to a crowded place, that's also intentional, or too intentional to be considered inadvertent.
What if you put a sign up beside
you? Say, I'm about
stand,
to do it?
Yeah,
but does a person have the right to do that in a public place, to put up a sign that says, you're not allowed to stand here?
Well, now it's another case. Suppose it's his own property.
Well, we're saying that it fell into the public domain, right?
The
Rishus HaRabim is a public domain, and the crowd had every right to be standing there.
Right.
So why do we say that
but
that's going to
inadvertent? He's a demolition guy. That's what he does for a living.
Good. So then he's got to put up the fence, like you see here, right? You got to do something to protect people, right?
If it's too intentional, then you would not be exiled, but you would be prosecuted for
murder. So there's the two cases of one is full intentional and one is full inadvertent. And then I think on the previous summit, you guys probably saw a bunch of cases where it's somewhere in between, right? Where you can't get any punishment, but you did something way too bad to get exile, but not bad enough to get murder. So you better just do a lot of tshuva, right? That seems to be the case over there. Okay, so we're not talking about the renovation either, because the renovation, that's also too intentional. He says, now let's add another detail. The Soser es Koslo Balaila, you renovated at night, right? So you didn't expect anybody to be there, and you really had good reason not to expect anybody to be there. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, that's also not exactly true, because even at nighttime, there could be people outside, right? You can't just assume because it's nighttime that people aren't going to be there.
You're outside, doesn't mean other people couldn't be.
Right, it says, Balaila nami boile liuni. At nighttime also you have to check.
Yeah.
So it really, we're now getting rid of this renovation case. We're saying it doesn't matter whether he was renovating during the day or even at night. Either way, he would have had to check before he knocked. And if he didn't check, there's too much negligence to be subject to exile. Okay, next try. Besoser es koslo la'ashpa. He renovated his wall, but not onto the Rishus HaRabim, not into the public domain, but rather into a garbage dump. Now, a garbage dump, what is the status of a garbage dump? Well, that is for sure there's garbage there, but in Talmudic times, pardon me?
Raccoons going
there. I don't know if they had raccoons there. I think that's a North American thing, but I'm not sure. Maybe. Right?
Right?
But well, what is the status of the Talmudic times garbage dump? So it also doubled as a washroom. Right?
It was
the public facilities also, right? This is the public washroom as well. Right? So people would come and use these dumps, these garbage collection sites, as washrooms. So what we're saying here is that it's not really a public area, right? So maybe he didn't have to check before he knocked his wall down if he was knocking it into a garbage dump. It's not like he's knocking it onto Bathurst Street, right? He's knocking it into an area where there's really not people there. However, we're going to see that since it's a place where people use the washroom, so there could be people there, and therefore there's a degree of negligence, just enough, maybe says the Gemara right now, maybe just enough to get exiled, that he wouldn't have had to check. But if somebody got killed, then that's clearly a case of manslaughter that he could have checked first, obviously, before, and he didn't. So maybe that's the case of the exile here, where the guy renovated his house into a garbage dump that people use as a washroom. Okay, that's the next try.
Right.
So the Gemara says, well, let's clarify what level of usage this dump had as a bathroom. Hai ashpa heichidami. This garbage dump, what degree of usage did it have as a bathroom? Ishchiche beirabim. If there's tons of people that are using it as a bathroom frequently, poshehu. So then he's totally negligent again, and he had just as much expectation to check if people were there than were in the public thoroughfare. There's no difference. There's tons of people there. What do I care if it's a garbage dump or a street? Ilo shchiche berabim. And if you don't find people there usually in this garbage dump, anusu. He's totally not at fault because there's never people here. Why would I have had to check? I can safely assume there was nobody in the dump. Amrav Papa, so we're going to talk about a specific kind of garbage dump.
But you know what? We're assuming that this perpetrator knows the usual situation.
Yes, that is known.
Suppose he's a visitor to the area, and he's just, you know, from another town, and he's staying overnight here, so he doesn't know what it's normally used as.
So most garbage dumps, I'm saying this, most of these garbage dumps in Talmudic times were used as these public bathrooms too. So just because you're a new place to the city, you'd have to, part of your responsibility before you go knocking things down is to figure out where am I putting this?
Is it
what kind of place is this?
Right.
Is this a place where I should expect people or not expect people? Or you could just go look first, right? That would also help, right? But if you plan on just using a blindfold and knocking down this wall, then at least know what kind of place you're knocking the wall down into. So we're going to say it's a particular type of dump. Amar Rav Papa, lo tzricha el la'ashpa ha'asui lifanus ba'balayla. We're only talking about a dump that was made for bathroom facilities, or was used, I shouldn't say made. It was used only for bathroom facilities at nighttime. Ve'ein asui lifanus ba'bayom. But it wasn't one that was commonly used during the day at all. Ve'ika demikri v'yosef. But some people still do it in the day, but very infrequently. Meaning, once it's already designated as a dump, as a washroom, so when someone's in need, they're going to use it. However, it must be that the layout of the land here is that a person doesn't have too much privacy there, right? And therefore, it's really probably a place that most people would only use at night unless there was some extreme urgency, right? And then it would be used during the day, too. So that's the case. Right, we really zeroed in here on what this case of throwing a rock into a public place is, right? We're saying that you knocked your renovated into a garbage dump that was used for a washroom at night, not during the day, but sometimes for emergencies also during the day. And, of course, he knocked it down during the day, right? So now, what is the level of negligence here?
I thought we said it was at night.
Well, now we're sweat to switch that, because night, we said there's no difference between night and day. Now we're saying he knocked it down during the day in a place that was really only had an expectation of people there being at night. So the Gemara says, Poshe Elohavi, he's not totally negligent here in this case. Deha Eina Asui Lufanus Babayom, because usually there's nobody there during the day. Right? So he could have safely assumed to a certain degree that there's nobody there. Oinus Nami Lohavi, but he's also not totally off the hook here. He's not totally free of responsibility. Deha Ika Demikri V'yasev, because occasionally there are people who are there in an emergency, and you just happen to knock your wall down right there at that emergency. So that is the case where we said at the Mishnah that the guy goes to exile when he throws a rock into a crowded place. And Tosfos just points out, now that we came onto this whole garbage dump where there's people at night, not so many during the day, but they're sometimes there during the day. Now that we came onto this, we can just get rid of the whole renovation business too. It could just back me to the regular case where you threw a rock into a garbage dump, where people use it at night, don't use it during the day, and it's possible there are people there during the day. It's not called fully negligent to even throw a rock into such a place. It's called negligent enough. You could get sent to exile for it, right? But not negligent enough that's called intentional. Right, this is exactly the level of inadvertence. This is the case. He does go to exile, whether he throws a rock, renovates his wall into this type of a place where sometimes there's tons of people there. Now I don't really expect there to be people there other than the occasional user, which I did not expect.
But you would think that it would be negligent for him to throw a rock altogether, because he has no reason to throw.
Well, let's say there's a case. He's trying to clean out his area. Yeah. I mean, he's trying to get it out of his property somewhere else. Let's say he's not just doing it out of skipping rocks or whatever over the garbage dump. Right?
This is the difference. He had a reason to do it, whatever the reason was, or he just decided, I want to throw a rock into a crowd. That's a different story.
Very good.
Yeah.
Just to find out, what time do you guys usually go to? 8 o'clock. Even when there's davening right at 8?
8 o'clock.
7:55?
Whatever. A few minutes before, so we could put our
stuff on. Okay. Okay, good.
Sid beats the davening. He's already ready.
I see Sid is prepared, but...
he's ready, but we're not.
Right?
Yeah.
We need people in to start.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Hopefully they'll give me a minion so I can leave.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's continue. Moving on. Okay, so we secured that first case. Now let's just revisit the second case, because we're not going to talk about the second case. Oh, no, we are. This is what we're getting through right now. So that was the first case about throwing the rock. The second case we said is if after the guy threw the rock, the other guy came into place, right? Where he came into the place where the rock was, trajectory was taking it, and he wouldn't have got hit by the trajectory if he didn't move. So we said there that there's no exile there either. So how do we know that that is true?
Well, okay.
So we're going to have a pasuk for this also. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa quotes the pasuk, and it says, Umatza. So the case was when the, with the axe handle, Umatza, that the handle failed, not the handle, the blade.
The head of
found.
The head of
the Umatza, it found the head, is the key word here. It found. It found the head of the victim, right? If the victim finds the axe himself, right, that's not called it found. Right, it's not called that the damaging object found him. It's that he found it, right? So it doesn't fulfill the technical the qualification of the verse, which says that the only way a person's going to get exiled is if it found him. The damage found him. Prat lamamtias atzmo. This excludes the case where a guy makes it find himself, right? Where you you walk into the guy's fist.
So then he goes into it. No, he doesn't go into it. So.
Yeah, that's the case. We're saying if he walks into it where he wouldn't have hit him otherwise, then the person who caused that damage, the potential damage, is not sent to exile.
Not going.
It's only if the damage finds the victim, not if the victim finds the damage.
Okay.
And I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says from here. Sorry, Mikan. I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. From here, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says. If after the guy releases the rock from his hand, the other guy moves his head into place, the kibla, and receives it on his head and dies, putter, the guy who threw it is exempt. Okay, so that is the drasha. The Gemara is now going to question if this word, and it found, always implies that you find something that was there all along. Right? Does the word, and it found, implies that the rock found something that was there all along? Or maybe it can mean that it found something that just came right now. Oh, I found it. Right? Right? I just found it. It just came right.
Victim found the rock.
Right, right, right. As I say, right? But does the word, and it found him, the victim, imply that it found him, the victim, i.e. something that was there all along, that was always there?
Yeah.
Or does the word, and it found, imply that you are finding something that was not there all along? Oh, I just found something new, right? Yeah. It's a metziah, right? I just found something. Yeah. So the Gemara says... Lememra, is this to tell me, dematza, that the word found, meikara mashma, implies something that was there all along? Right, that this victim had been there all along? Is that really true? Uramini, I'll bring you a kasha, from a different time in the Torah where he uses the same word, and it found. Now, I'll give you a little background to this case. There is a topic in the Torah called the steyachuza, which means an ancestral land. Right, so if a person inherits an ancestral land that was passed down, from the original division of the land at the times of Yehoshua, this is a tribal ancestral land that you are inheriting. So we want that to remain as much as possible in the hands of those families and not to be sold.
Yeah.
So if a guy gets desperate and he needs to sell those lands, so up to a certain amount of time, he can force the buyer to resell the land back to him for the same value, right? He can reforce it to be sold back to him. Now, the pasuk over there says that's only true if he comes across resources or money. The original seller comes across new found money or resources that he didn't have originally. If he was a billionaire and he decided to sell his ancestral land, you're not getting yet to buy that back, right? You decide to do that, that's now up to you. But the Torah had mercy on someone that was forced to sell their ancestral land and didn't want to, that they have the ability to buy that back. They can force the buyer to resell it back to them. But it's only if they come across new assets that they didn't have before. And of course, the word where it says that he came across new assets that he didn't have before is umatza, and he found. right? And he failed new assets that he didn't have before, right? Uh-huh. So that's when he could buy it back. So here in this context, the word "and he found" does not imply something that he had all along. In fact, the exact opposite. If he had it all along, we wouldn't let him rebuy it, right? It's only finding new assets that were not in his possession at the time. Right? So we're going to have this contradiction, because in the case of the rock, the word "and it found" talked about something that it had to have been something that it found that was there the whole time. Right? That person's head had to have been in that place the whole time. It's not that it moved into a new place. And over here we're saying, no, the word matzah means the opposite. Not something that was there the whole time. It has to be specifically something that's brand new. So we have this contradiction. Now, so let's read that contradiction in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Uramini, I'll ask you a contradiction that you're telling me the word umatzah means something that was there all along." Yeah. Umatzah, it says, and he found the new cash to buy back his ancestral land. Prat lematzui. This excludes a case that it was already found, meaning it was already in his possession. The money was in his possession the whole time, and he just anyways decided to sell his ancestral land. To teach you, shaloim kor berachok v'yigal bekarov, that you shouldn't sell something that's close and redeem something that's near. Berachok v'yigal biyafor, sell the bad land and redeem the good land. Now, what does this mean? Let's say the guy has no money, this guy. He's got two ancestral lands, right? One of them is in the north, and one of them is in the center of the country. Right?
Wait a minute. How could he get two? Joshua only gave one piece of land.
It's true. Let's say he inherited one from his mother.
Ah,
and his mother was from a different tribe, let's say.
All right. Okay.
Right? You can make cases. Yeah, right? Okay. So this is one ancestral land was in the north, and one ancestral land was in the center of the country.
Okay,
that he had. So now, this guy ran out of money, and he has to sell one of his ancestral lands because he's in a tough spot. So what he decides to do is he decides to sell the one in the center of the country. Right? Yes, so he has to sell one of them. He sells the one in the center of the country. Right? And then without even getting any more money back, let's say he didn't strike the lottery just yet, but he says, that was actually a terrible, terrible decision. I should have kept the one that's closer to Yerushalayim because I have to go up there three times a year. Why did I sell this one that's close and take the far one? Right? Or he says, you know, the one in the center of the country is really a much greater quality of land. This one in the north is much worse. I'd rather now sell the one in the north to redeem the one in the center. So he can't do any of these things because he had the resources at the time to do that originally. He didn't come across any new resources which enabled him to make this trade. He's now selling one and buying back the other with the money the resources, that same value he already had the whole time. It was not a new value that came to him under which he's redeeming the land he sold. Why was he selling it? Let's say he was broke and he did some liquid cash.
He didn't have the money.
No, but now he had the other land.
But the other land is not...
He has a value.
Because he would have to give that up.
Right. He should have done that originally. Whatever the decision was originally, he had the ability to make both of those decisions originally. Right? He could have said, I'm going to sell... I didn't get any new assets at the time. Right? I didn't receive any new assets.
So he decided to do that even though no additional funds came to him.
Right, exactly. Because he said, why? Because there's some side reason. I want the close one, or I want the better one. So but I could have done the same thing at the beginning. So therefore, since it wasn't because of some new asset came to his possession, we don't entitle him to be able to buy back the ancestral land.
No.
He should have made that decision at the beginning, and since he didn't make that decision at the beginning, he's not entitled to. He's not entitled to trade one of his lands, one of his previously existing assets, for a new to recover this old asset that he sold. It has to be that he comes across brand new resources, brand new capital, in order to be able to purchase this. Then we'd say he's allowed to. So what we see from here is the word umatza clearly means over here that he found new money, something that's brand new that he didn't have before. Whereas in the case of the rock, it's talking about something that had to have been there before. So we're having this word "and he found," or "and it found," and "he found." That word "found," does it mean something that was found that was there the whole time? Or does "found" mean something that is found that is brand new? We have a contradiction, right? We have two different sources and they each imply the opposite. Amar Rava answers and he says, "Hacha min yana dekra, v'hasam min yana dekra." He says, "You're right. The word itself and it found has no intrinsic meaning one way or the other. It doesn't intrinsically mean that it was something that was there before or something that's new. It just depends on the context, right? And we're going to compare the word found to other words in each of the different contexts to tell us." That one of them means something that was there the whole time, and one of them means something that is brand new. Pasa Minyan Dekra, over there by the case of the ancestral land, we see that it's something that was brand new. The matzah has to be something brand new. He has to come across a brand new money, because that's what the pasuk was talking about. Why? Umatza dumya devehisiga. The beginning of that verse starts off by saying it is hand grasped money, and he found it, and it found it. Right. So, the word find is a similar in this context to the word and his hand grasped it. Mahisiga yado mahashta. Just like when your hand grasps something, it's something that it is now grasping that it wasn't grasping before. It's something that's new that I'm.
Again, it's not definite. It could be somebody that was there before you.
In your hand the whole time.
Yeah.
In his hand and grasped. Seems to be that is the word grasp is not something that means like gripped.
Still not definitive.
It doesn't mean gripped. The word grasp doesn't mean grip. It means to pick something up. Visiga means you took control over it. That's what visiga means. You take control over it.
Well, you can take control of somebody that was never there, and you can take control of something that just came
into your hand. Yes. Now it's new in my hand, right? It's new in my possession. I'm taking control over that which is my possession. It's just right. Like the word taking control implies that it's something that is new. It was not in my possession before. Af matza nami mahasha. So too over there, the word and found also needs to be similar in context, and it has to refer to something that was not in your possession before, and that's why for the ancestral land case, we treat the word found as something that is new. And if he has had it in his possession from before, he's not going to be able to buy back his ancestral land. But hacha, but by the case of the rock and the guy sticking his head out, in Yana Dekra, we're also going in the context of the verse Umatza. Umatza dumya diyar. We want, and it found, to be similar to the forest. How so? Ma yar midi di isay. Just like the yar, the forest, had to be something that was there in place before the rock found anything, right? The forest didn't move. The forest was there the whole time. You didn't find the forest. Af umatza nami midi diisi mikara. So too, and it found his head had to have been a head that was present there before.
Yeah, just like talking about the rock, not the forest.
I know, but we're just saying because the context of the word and it found was in this in the same verse as the forest, so we're using a drasha to tell you that it has to be similar. And just like the forest was there the whole time, so too the guy's head had to have been there the whole time. And if his head was not there the whole time and it got moved into place, so the thrower is going to be Potter. We're going to stop here. Let's stop here. It's a good place to stop. Yeah. Okay.